भगवते वासुदेवाया ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाया ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाया
ओम नमो
from Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhuya eva vibhitsami
Bhuya eva vibhitsami
Bhagavan atma mayaya
Bhagavan atma mayaya
Yathedam sujyate vishvam
Yathedam sujyate vishvam
Durvibhavyam adheshvarai
Again.
Eva.
Eva.
Also.
Vivitsami.
I wish to learn.
Bhagavan.
The personality of Godhead.
Atma.
Personal.
Mayaya.
By the energies.
Yata.
As.
Idam.
This phenomenal world.
Sujate
does create
Vishvam
universe
Durvibhavyam
inconceivable
Adheshvarai
by the great demigods.
I
beg to know from you how the personality of Godhead by his personal energies creates these phenomenal universes as they are, which are inconceivable even to the great demigods. Purport. In every inquisitive mind, the important question of the creation of the phenomenal world arises. And therefore, for a personality like Maharaja Parikshit, who was to know all the activities of the Lord from his spiritual master, such an inquiry is not uncommon. For every unknown thing, we have to learn and inquire from a learned personality. The question of creation is also one of such inquiries to be made to the right person. The spiritual master, therefore, must be one who is sarvajna, as stated herein before in connection with Sukadev Goswami. Thus, all inquiries on God which are unknown to the disciple may be made from the qualified spiritual master, and here the practical example is set by Maharaj Parikshit. What does sarvajna mean? He knows everything. Sarva, all, jna, to know. Sarvajna. It was, however, already known to Maharaj Parikshit that everything we see is born out of the energy of the Lord. As we have all learned in the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, Janmad Yasya Yataha. What does Janmad Yasya Yataha mean? The source of everything. Janma Adi, the beginning of creation. That which from everything has come. So Maharaj Parikshit wanted to know the process of creation. The origin of creation was known to him. Otherwise he would not have inquired how the personality of Godhead by his different energies creates this phenomenal world. The common man also knows that the creation is made by some creator and is not created automatically. It's the common man. Foolish people say that the creative energy is independent and acts automatically as electrical energy works. But the intelligent man knows that even the electrical energy is generated by an expert engineer in the localized powerhouse, and thus the energy is distributed everywhere under the resident engineer's supervision. The Lord's supervision in connection with creation is mentioned even in the Bhagavad Gita 9.10, and it is clearly said there that material energy is a manifestation of one of many such energies of the Supreme. Parasya Saktiya Vividhaiva Suryate. Yakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam Hetuna Nena Kantaya Jagat Viparivartate. The material nature, which is one of my energies, is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, producing all moving and non-moving beings. Under its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. So that's 9.10. An inexperienced boy may be struck with wonder by seeing the impersonal actions of electronics or many other wonderful things conducted by electrical energy, but an experienced man knows that behind the action is a living man who creates such energy. What's Prabhupada referring to here? Anybody know?
Nature.
Nature. An inexperienced boy may be struck with wonder by seeing the impersonal actions of electronics or many other wonderful things conducted by electrical energy, but an experienced man knows that behind the action is a living man who creates such energy. What is Prabhupada referring to here?
The demigods?
The
what? The demigods?
The demigods? Mm-hmm. I don't think the demigods get a mention, do they?
Scientists?
No, a specific event in Prabhupada's life he's referring to.
The tram,
yes. And Prabhupada used to wonder, if I stick my stick up on that wire, will I move along like the tram without having to do anything? So you think, well, they stick the conductor attaches itself to the wire and then it moves. So Prabhupada was thinking, if I touch it with my stick, then I'll move down the track. Prabhupada says here, an inexperienced boy may be struck with wonder by seeing the impersonal actions of electronics or many other wonderful things conducted by electrical energy. An experienced man knows that behind the action is a living man who creates such energy. So what's the point here? What's the point that Prabhupada's making here?
Behind the energy is the
energy. Yes. Yep.
Well, energy is always supervised.
Yep. Yes. By what? Or who?
A person.
Yes, good. The energy is always under the control of a person. It doesn't happen automatically. The material creation has a source, in other words, and that source is personal, not impersonal. It doesn't just spontaneously combust into action or Similarly, the so-called scholars and philosophers of the world may, by mental speculation, present so many utopian theories about the impersonal creation of the universe, but an intelligent devotee of the Lord, by studying the Bhagavad Gita, can know that behind the creation is the hand of the Supreme Lord. Just as in a generating electrical powerhouse, there is the resident engineer. The research scholar finds out the cause and the effect of everything, but research scholars as great as Brahma, Shiva, Indra, and many other demigods are sometimes bewildered by seeing the wonderful creative energy of the Lord. So what to speak of the tiny mundane scholars dealing in petty things? As there are differences in the living conditions of different planets of the universe, and as one planet is superior to others, the brains of the living entities in those respective planets are also of different categorical values. What's another word for categorical values? And which would probably be more commonly used. What is a categorical value?
Grades.
Grades. Yep.
Resources.
Levels. Yeah, good. How about categories? Prabhupada said categorical values, but normally we would say categories. Different categories. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, one can compare the long. So you know, some planets, such as the demigods, and this is a good example, or good point. The demigods are bewildered by what's going on in the creation. And they're much, much more better endowed than us. So they have difficulty understanding the source of everything and how it's manifest. And mainly because the material energy has this bewildering potency. Two bewildering potencies. The covering potency and the pulling down potency. But the covering potency keeps us bewildered as to what's actually going on. This is called Maya, illusion. We accept something as real when it is temporary, or something as permanent when actually is temporary, and something temporary as permanent. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, one can compare the long duration of life of the inhabitants of Brahma's planet, which is inconceivable to the inhabitants of this earth planet, to the categorical value of the brain of Brahmaji, also inconceivable to any great scientist of this planet. And with such high brain power, even Brahmaji has described in his great Samhita as follows: Ishvaraha Paramat Krishna Satit Ananda Vigraha Anadi Adya Govinda Sava Karana Karanam. There are many personalities possessing the qualities of Bhagavan, but Krishna is the supreme because none can excel him. He is the supreme person, and his body is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. He is the primeval Lord Govinda and the cause of all causes. Ishvaraha Parama Krishna. Krishna is the supreme. And so therefore, as the supreme, no one can excel him. Right? Krishna is the supreme. Ishvaraha Parama. Topmost Ishvara controller is Krishna. So if he's the topmost controller, that means there's no one above. Brahmaji admits Lord Krishna to be the supreme cause of all causes, but persons with tiny brains within this petty planet, Earth, think of the Lord as one of them. Thus, when the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita that he, Lord Krishna, is all in all, the speculative philosophers and the mundane wranglers deride him, and the Lord regretfully says, Avaja Ananti Mamudha Manushim Tanamasritam Parambhavam Majananto Mamabhuta Maheshwaram. Fools deride me when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature and my supreme dominion over all that be. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 11. Brahma and Shiva, and what to speak of other demigods, are Bhutas. What's a Bhuta? Living entity. Bhuta. Bhuta. So we're all Bhutas. Huh? Living entities. Well, here it says, all powerful creator demigods who manage universal affairs much like ministers appointed by a king. The ministers may be Ishwaras or controllers, but the Supreme Lord is Maheshwara, or the creator of the controllers. Persons with a poor fund of knowledge do not know this, and therefore they have the audacity to deride him, because he comes before us by his causeless mercy occasionally as a human being. The Lord is not like a human being. His Satchit Ananda Vigraha, or the absolute personality of Godhead, and there's no difference between his body and his soul. He is both the power and the powerful. Maharaj Parikshit did not ask his spiritual master, Sukadeva Goswami, to narrate Lord Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. Okay, so this first point is that a number of points here. What's the first point? Anybody remember what the first point is in the purport? Here's a test for you. What's the first point? Speak up. Yes, inquiry. Yeah, inquiry. One should inquire. What should one inquire about? Oh, definitely. That's, but in particular, Brahma Jigyasa. But no, that's true. But what in this purport? What is the point? What are we inquiring about? The creation. Yeah, but Prabhupada does say here, for every unknown thing, we have to learn and inquire from a learned personality. For every unknown thing, and so what. Tithapad said, although it sounds funny, it's correct. You ask questions about things that you don't know. But you know, the important questions are what's important. Bhagavatam talks about the animals inquiring about where's something to eat, where's a place for shelter, where do I get my sense gratification, where do I... basically material question: eating, sleeping, mating and defending. Ahara nidra baya maitanam chath. These are the activities, the animalistic propensities. So inquiring about eating, sleeping, mating and defending is common to everybody, but there are more important questions. Of course, those things should be dealt with also. It's not that we ignore those things, but a seriously inquisitive, seriously thoughtful person doesn't place a great deal of importance on those kind of questions. They can be solved by the animal, so you know it shouldn't be a huge problem for the human beings who have got a more developed intelligence. But the difference between the animals and the human beings is we can hear. We have a more developed mind and intelligence that can ponder and contemplate and inquire into The purpose of life. Where we came from. Where did I come from? Where am I going? What is the purpose of my existence? So these are the seriously important questions. And that's illustrated here by Sukadev Goswami. He's inquiring from... Maharaj Parikshit is inquiring from Sukadev Goswami about the really important the questions that have substance, or topics that have substance. And that's why Prabhupada says here that the spiritual master should have one qualification. What's that qualification?
Sarvagya.
What does that mean? Must know everything. So what does that mean, know everything? What does it mean, know everything? I could say to you, tell me what I'm thinking now. Huh? Tell me. Who can tell me? That means you don't know everything. Well, is it that kind of knowing? The essence of everything? What does it mean? One has to know everything. You know, if I were at school, if you knew, you know, if you did well in your exams, then you usually get put down by everybody else. Ah, you know it all. Who do you think you are? Huh? Not appreciated when I was a kid. If you knew everything. So what does it mean? Got 10 out of 10 for his maths exam. Jai Jagannath?
I have to know Krishna.
You have to know Krishna? Yeah.
To know about yourself?
Know about yourself? Yeah, what does it mean to know everything?
To know about God and His energies. To know about God and His energies.
Yeah.
Yeah. To know how to inquire.
Know how to inquire. Ooh, yeah, that's good. Yeah. Inquire from the right source, you get all of the answers and then you'll know everything. Certainly, that's mentioned here. This is the example being set by Maharaj Parikshit. Good point. The example is that he's gone to the spiritual master, the qualified spiritual master. The qualified spiritual master should know the science of devotional service, should know who is the source of everything. This is the, what is it called? This is the sambandha jnana. One should know the knowledge of our relationship, or of relationships in the material world and in the spiritual world. One should know the purpose of existence. How to utilize the human form of life for its proper purposes. As I said, eating, sleeping, mating and defending are essential. Try living without them and see how you go. No prasadam this morning. Right? No breakfast. How many of you would come to the morning program if there was no breakfast? Please raise your hands. Right? Well, you go home and have breakfast. Huh? Huh? So, even the spiritual, you know, the devotees, would, Prabhupada had to teach the devotees very basic, essential activities like cleaning your teeth, and even that's mentioned I mentioned this before in the Archana Parati, the first items of deity worship is rising early and cleaning your teeth. How to clean yourself. So there's a supportive activities related to our Krishna consciousness that are important. Tonight's preacher is setting the example, showing us how one should inquire from the bona fide or the qualified spiritual master, Prabhupada says here, can I? The qualified spiritual master. And Prabhupada makes a point here that Maharaj Parikshit already knew where everything came from. So he wasn't inquiring where did everything, from whence did everything come. This is not his question here. His question is, I know everything has come from the source, from Krishna, ultimately from the Lord, but how does the material creation, the energy is there, and how is that energy transformed or manipulated so that we have the phenomenal experience that we're seeing now? How is that? And Prabhupada makes a point about the energy of the powerhouse coming from the powerhouse under the control of the resident engineer, right? The resident engineer. There's somebody in charge of the power station. And the power comes on, basically. What happens? What does the engineer do when the power comes on? What does he do to get the power? What do we do to turn on the power? Yep, push a switch. That's it. On it goes. Although, mind you, in a power station, there's probably a few more switches than just one switch to get everything going. There's coal coming in, there's the burners being fired, there's the cooling system to keep the Does anybody know how a power station works? You know?
Yeah, when the coal burns, the water got hot.
That's right.
It's got the super, it's superheat.
Yeah.
It runs the turbine.
Yes.
The turbine generates.
Yes. Under pressure. The steam under pressure produces a great amount of energy, which spins the turbine, which makes the. Yeah, I remember when I was a kid, and I went with my father and uncle to Wyala from must have been living in Elizabeth, and on the way was the Port Augusta power station, which I thought was a huge place at the time because I was only about. Six or seven, and we stopped in at the power station and they took us for a tour of the whole facility. So just as there's somebody in charge of the power station monitoring all of the, you know, there's the resident engineer, but underneath him there's other people who are doing things. So similarly also the creation is coordinated by Krishna. And the demigods are his deputed agents that take care of the functioning of universal affairs. But it's all ultimately being directed by Krishna. And Prabhupada quotes the verse from Lord Brahma: Ishvaraha Paramakrishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha Anadi Radhi Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. So, Krishna is the supreme. Even if he appears in this material world and looks like one of us, it's a mistake to think of him in terms of material calculations, which is the mistake of those who don't have any devotional qualifications when they hear of Krishna. Pastimes, I just think of him as a more powerful person than themselves, but still an ordinary man. Manushim tananasritam. So this mentality is indicative of a person who is in ignorance, doesn't have knowledge. Whereas a devotee approaches the spiritual master and inquires from him. And really, that's what Maharaj Parikshit is doing of Sukadeva Goswami. Now, interesting point Prabhupada makes here. Maharaj Parikshit did not ask his spiritual master, Sukadeva Goswami, to narrate Lord Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. He wanted to hear first about the creation of the Lord. Sukadeva Goswami did not say that the king should hear about the direct transcendental pastimes of the Lord. The time was very short. And naturally, Sukadeva Goswami could have gone directly to the 10th canto to make a shortcut of the whole thing, as generally done by the professional reciters. So Maharaj Parikshit is setting an example here. He could have just... He's qualified enough. Maharaj Parikshit is qualified enough to inquire directly about the pastimes of Krishna. Right? He's very exalted and elevated personality. He's just given up his kingdom, his family, his wealth. You know, things that people toil and struggle and work hard for lifetimes. Maharaj Parikshit just gives it up. Leaves home. Right? He's the emperor of the whole planet. But he just gave it up. So he's not and we know that he's a great devotee. What kind of a devotee is he? He's described previously. Maharaj Parikshit is described previously. What is he described as? Anybody remember? What kind of a devotee is Maharaj Parikshit described as? What kind of devotees are there? Two types of devotees that are described previously. Siddhas. What kind of siddhas are they? Giving you a hint. Huh? Kripa Siddha. Oh, three types actually, yeah. Kripa Siddha, Nitya Siddha, Sadhana Siddha. So what is Maharaj Parikshit described as being? Huh? Nitya Siddha, right? Always liberated devotee. How do we know that? How do we know that Maharaj Parikshit is a very elevated devotee?
Because he's not concerned about the death at all.
He's what?
He's not concerned about the snake bite.
Yeah. Yes, that's an example. What else is an example? That's right. He saw Krishna before he was even born. So what kind of a devotee is he? Special devotee. He saw the Lord protected him within the womb of his mother. So that means a very, very special devotee. So, pure, you know, he properly explains how he born into a family of devotees, worshipped Krishna all his childhood, you know, very, very fortunate. So he could have made a shortcut of the whole thing. But neither the king nor the great speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam jumped up like the organizers of Bhagavatam. What's Prabhupada referring to here? What's it called? Yeah, Bhagavat Saptaha, the recitation of the Srimad Bhagavatam organized by so many Swamijis, and they go immediately to the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. But here, what's the example? Neither the king nor the great speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam jumped up. Both of them proceeded systematically so that both future readers and hearers might take lessons from the example of the procedure of reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. So we don't jump to the rasa, the rasa katha. Actually, it's all rasa katha because it's all related to Krishna. And so for the transcendentalists, it's relishable at any point. Beginning, middle, end, in between, introduction. It's all pleasing and satisfying and relishable for the pure devotees. You know, there's the story of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who was reciting, giving Krishna Katha, discussions on Krishna Katha at Radha Kund. Right? And we're doing the last verse of the Nectar of Instruction, which is about Radha Kund. Last three verses are about Radha Kund, actually, in the Nectar of Instruction. And of course, the advice is to go and reside in Radha Kund and to perform one's devotional service under the guidance of Krishna's most intimate associates, like the residents of Braj. And specifically at Radha Kund, the Shakyis and Manjaris. And so, you know, there are those who go follow this instruction of Rupa Goswami and go to Radha Kund to reside in seclusion and perform their bhajan there. And of course, that's what the Goswamis did. That's what Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami and the other Raghunath did. They went to Vrindavan and performed their bhajan in this fashion. And they were reciting the you know, what's is it Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur? Who wrote the Sad Goswami Ashtak? Narottam Das?
Srinivas.
Hey Radhe Brajadevi Ke Chanan Chalalite. You know, they were absorbed in thinking of the very intimate associates. And in that way, they're associating with the topmost devotees, and they themselves were the topmost. But that kind of devotional service, that mood can't be imitated. And unfortunately, over the years, the practice of living at Radha Kund and performing one's devotional service in the footsteps of the Manjaris and the Shakyis was, rather than being faithfully adhered to and followed as was evidenced and the example was set by the Goswamis, it was being imitated. So Prabhupada tells the story of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur going to Radha Kund and speaking on the Upanishads. But then the Babajis would come to hear his recitation, and then Prabhupada said they would go away because it wasn't the rasa katha that they were expecting. And what did Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur say about those persons living at Radha Kund? Yeah, they're actually not living in Radhakund. They're living in, you know, basically the hellish planets. You know, when one imitates the activities of a superior or an advanced person, then one simply becomes degraded. One isn't elevated, one becomes degraded. So prematurely jumping to the 10th canon of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and specifically to the Rasa Lila, the pastimes of Krishna with the gopis, is warned against and even denounced by the great acharyas, because it doesn't elevate one, it will end up in one seeing Krishna's, you know, just seeing Krishna's activities as mundane, just like us. You know, we shouldn't imitate a platform that we're not on. This is very important. Because we'll be degraded as a result. So Prabhupada says here, those who are under the control of the external energy of the Lord, I haven't finished reading the purport yet, so bear with me. Those who are under the control of the external energy of the Lord, or in other words, those who are in the material world, must first of all know how the external energy of the Lord is working under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Maya Yakshena Prabhu. Was it? Maya Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam Hetu Nanena Kontaya Jagadvipari Vartate. The material nature, which is one of my energies, what's the name for the material energy?
Mahamaya.
Huh?
Mahamaya.
Mahamaya, yeah. Another name? Durga.
Durga.
Yeah. Working under Krishna's direction. So, and afterwards one may try to enter into the activities of his internal energy. So we need to understand comprehensively what are the activities of the external energy, the material energy. Then once knowing that, we can be introduced to the activities of the internal or the spiritual energy. The mundanas are mostly worshippers of Durga, Devi, the external energy of Krishna, but they do not know that Durga Devi is but the shadow energy of the Lord. Behind her astonishing display of material workings is the direction of the Lord, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 9.10, which we've already read. The Brahma Samhita affirms that Durga Shakti is working by the direction of Krishna, Govinda, and without his sanction, the powerful Durga Shakti cannot move even a blade of grass. Without Krishna's sanction, nothing happens. So we wonder why we're under the control of the material energy, because Krishna has sanctioned it. Therefore, the neophyte devotee, instead of jumping at once to the platform of transcendental pastimes presented by the internal energy of the Lord, may know how great the Supreme Lord is by inquiring about the process of his creative energy. That's what Maharaj Pariksit is doing here. He's inquiring about how does this material energy work. So we should know that. Sarvagya means we should know these things. You know, Sarvagya means we should know the Bhagavad Gita. Sarvagya means we should know the Srimad Bhagavatam. Sarvagya means we should know the nectar of devotion, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Savagya means we should know Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prabhupada says if we know these four books, then we'll have a sufficient understanding of all topics, spiritual and material, that we're eligible to then instruct others. And that we'll be able to defeat anybody in debate if we know these. And not just some superficial, we need to actually understand the explicit instructions and the implications, the implied knowledge, So this learning. There's theoretical understanding, and then vidyan, practical application, very important. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita also, descriptions of the creative energy and the Lord's hand in it are explained. And the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita has warned the neophyte devotees to be seriously on guard against the pitfall of neglecting knowledge about Krishna in regard to how great he is. So first of all, know how great Krishna is and how great his creation is. We're interested in Krishna's creation because it's connected to Krishna, because it comes from Krishna. We need to know how it works in order to extricate ourselves from it. Only when one knows Lord Krishna's greatness can one firmly put one's unflinching faith in him. Otherwise, like the common man, even the great leaders of men will mistake Lord Krishna for one of the many demigods, or a historical personality, or a myth only. A myth. Does one have to take a myth, a mythological person, seriously? The transcendental pastimes of the Lord in Vrindavan or even at Dwarka are relishable for persons who have already qualified themselves in advanced spiritual techniques. So to hear the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam means one has to be advanced. And the common man may be able to attain to such a plane by the gradual process of service and inquiries. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te gyanam gyaninas tattvadarshanaha. And the common man may be able to attain to such a plane by the gradual process of service and inquiries, as we shall see in the behaviour of Maharaj Parikshit. So Maharaj Parikshit is qualified. He's so elevated a personality. He can directly go to the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. But he doesn't. Why? To set an example to us. And he's humble. He's a humble devotee. Not, oh, I'm so advanced, I can just go to the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. No. Well, this is the symptom of a great devotee, is humility. It may appear to be a little dry, a little philosophical, but that's... an understanding of these details is required. So, in order to set an example, to show us how to follow the process of service and inquiries, Maharaj Parikshit begins with the beginning. He begins at the beginning. Was it Mary Poppins who said that? Let's start at the very good, at the beginning. It's a very good place to start. Was it Mary Poppins? Anybody watch Mary Poppins? No. I went and saw it when I was a kid, so... But anyway. Or was it The Sound of Music? Begin at the beginning, not jump. Jump over. This is an important etiquette, actually, to be learnt in spiritual practice. One has to become a dedicated servant of the spiritual master. Just like Rupa Goswami tells us that we should live in Radha Kund. Right? Now how come we're all not living in Radha Kund? How come?
Well, you're so fallen.
We are so fallen.
Because we're still working on the Vachavegam.
What's that?
Because we're still working on the Vachavegam work.
We're still working on the beginning, the Vachavegam. Yeah, control the speech. It is interesting, or it is worth noting that Srila Prabhupada, where did Srila Prabhupada receive his final instructions from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur? In Radhakund. Yeah. And what did Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur instruct Srila Prabhupada? What was his instruction? Anybody remember? Yes. Well, if ever you get money, print books. Right? If ever you get money, print books. He didn't say, the most important instruction for you is to reside in Radhakund. Didn't emphasize that. You know, because at different time and different places, Kala Desha Patra, the acharyas will give different instructions for the elevation of the candidate. The Goswamis of Vrindavan are very, very elevated personalities, and those who became their disciples and followers were elevated, but even those persons got different instructions. Right? The followers of Lord Chaitanya got different instructions because different people require different degrees of or different engagements in devotional service for their elevation, for their purification. As Mahatma says, we're not qualified, we're fallen. So therefore, we need to be engaged at the appropriate level of Krishna consciousness that will elevate us from the point where we are. And that's pleasing to Krishna. That's you know, so I guess it's, in one sense it's okay to aspire to be like Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami and the other Goswamis. But you know, if you're not like them, don't imitate. Don't imitate them, because the imitation won't do you any, won't do us any good. We need, you know, Prabhupada says we should be a humble sweeper in the street, not a charlatan meditator. Right? And that's the example here given by Maharaj Pariksit. Start off from the beginning. A very good place to start. And that means taking shelter, inquiring from the spiritual master, and then following the instruction. So Prabhupada, and we chant in the morning, what is it? Nikunju Yuno Rati Keli Siddhyai. The verse from the Guru Vashtakam. The spiritual master is an intimate associate of the servants of Krishna. And he's rendering service to them in the groves of Vrindavan. So the spiritual master is rendering intimate service to Krishna. And if we're rendering service to him, then that's very pleasing to Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada exemplified this point, because you know, here he is, he's getting instructions at Radhakund from his spiritual master. And Prabhupada says we should serve those who are intimately associated with Krishna. So we do that through the agency of the spiritual master. And that's the means by which we, at a very low level of Krishna consciousness, can gradually be elevated to a high level. And that's pleasing to Krishna. Whether we're at any, it doesn't really matter at what stage of Krishna consciousness we are. We should adhere to these principles. One sense, it doesn't matter. But of course, it does matter if we're not elevated and we try to imitate that. Better we should act at the level of Krishna consciousness that we are situated and be gradually elevated from that point. You know, some of us may be elevated to the platform or the status of somebody like Jiva Goswami or Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, charming, elevated personalities. We may be. That's up to Krishna. We leave that up to Krishna. But unlikely that we'll get there by our own efforts. It'll be by Krishna's mercy that we get there. And that mercy descends. Samsara davanala lida loka. It comes from the ocean of mercy. Who's the ocean of mercy? In that prayer, the first verse of the Gurvastika, the ocean of mercy is referred to. Who's the ocean of mercy? Huh? The holy name. I never heard that. No, it says the spiritual master is connected to the ocean of mercy. Who's the ocean of mercy? Krishna. Yeah, of course. Of course, the holy name is Krishna, so you could say from that point of view. And for us, that's true. It really is. You know, how do we associate with Krishna? Huh? Through the spiritual master. Yeah, maybe. But what does the spiritual master tell us to do? Chant 16 rounds. Right? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is how we connect to Krishna. The ocean of mercy. So, this point we need to inquire. We inquire, and what's the inquiry? What was Prabhupada's inquiry of his spiritual master? How can I serve you? That's how we get elevated from where we are. And then by the mercy of the spiritual master, we can be elevated to whatever level of Krishna consciousness Krishna and the spiritual master want us to be elevated to. Right? Not so much that, yeah, I want to be a gopi. Right? What do you mean a gopi? You don't even know that you're not the body. Or we don't even know that we're not the body. So how are we going to be a gopi? Just like the Shaki Biki in Vrindavan. They dress up with saris and lipstick and peacock feathers and stuff. They think that just by dressing like a gopi, they'll become a gopi. You get a shock. See this 40-year-old man dressed like a gopi with lipstick on. This is a sahajya. We shouldn't be sahajas. So this is Maharaj preachers teaching us this example that we start from the beginning. The beginning means surrendering to the spiritual master through inquiries and service. So it's not what I want, it's what the spiritual master wants. Because that's what Krishna wants. Does anybody have any comments or questions on any of these points?
One comment. As you were telling, you already explained that Srila Prabhupada was asked by a few people to tell about 10 kanto. Prabhupada said, I'm not qualified.
Yeah, I'm not qualified. But you know, do we find anywhere where Srila Prabhupada gave, you know, talks on 10th canto? Didn't. Because we should be talking to the level of the appropriate level of our audience. Right? We should be preaching to the appropriate, and that's what Srila Prabhupada was expert at doing that. So we have to gauge the qualifications of the audience, then we talk accordingly, speak accordingly. Not that we don't jump to the in the Christian tradition, what is it? One shouldn't cast pearls before swine, lest they tread them in the dirt. So you don't give the most valuable things to the gross. They won't appreciate it. So the pig, you know, give them pearls and they just don't appreciate them. So I get, what is it, pearls of wisdom. We're careful about how we distribute. Otherwise it's an offence, actually. Okay, I think we should finish here. It's getting late. Gaurav Shri Bhagavatam ki jai, Prabhupada ki jai, Gaurav Bhaktivinoda ki jai.